our hearts, of course, as we live in anxious times. Yes, Sister Rita. We want to keep the saints of God all over the world in prayer, especially our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan and also in Haiti. We pray that every need be met, that every fear dismissed, and that the Almighty comfort and provide peace and descend upon those who have been impacted in those areas in the face of an earthquake, in the face of possibly a tropical storm or hurricane on its way to Haiti, in the midst of war and intimidation and in violence. I was yesterday morning was able to go to Publix. Thank God for having some money to be able to go and buy some stuff from Publix. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
And I saw a lady walking around with her husband, and she had a shirt on, and it was the acronym of faith. And faith as an acronym was thwarting all issues, right? Thwarting all issues to him. Thwarting all issues to him. That's faith. Thwarting all issues to him. So we're thwarting those issues to him this morning. Ones that are in your heart right now, ones that we know about, and we speak to each mouth that is in our lives and in the lives of our brothers and sisters all over this country and the world. We speak to the mountain of death, to the mountain of disease and destruction in our lives, in their lives, and say in the power of the Holy Ghost, be thou removed. And be cast into the sea of no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. And we stand right now upon the confirmation of the word that all of the children of God by faith, everywhere, anywhere, all over this world, in America, in Africa, in Afghanistan, and in Haiti, are at this moment receiving the peace, the safety, and the salvation of our Father. Faith, forwarding all issues to Him. As I mentioned on last weekend, as we think about, yes, we live in anxious times, and with the COVID-19 Delta variant and tropical disturbances to come. We didn't have no names last week. We got some names now. We got Fred. We got Grace. But we got another name. Hallelujah. The name is Jesus. And it just reminds me that the Father has not abandoned us. He has not left us comfortless. He has not left us without being refreshed by Him so we can refresh each other. And I want to say this to each of you, and as I say it to you, remind those round about you and in your circle that may not necessarily be on this call where they can hear this, but they're on this call because you are here. So get this message out to them as well, if it's by phone call, if it's by text, Instagram, Facebook, your choice of communication. And just remind them, as I'm reminding each of you who have not started doing it, please start making preparations for the tropical disturbances to come, whether it be Fred, whether it be Grace, or the others come between now and November of this year. Elder Bybee reminded us some Wednesdays ago of Hosea 4 and 6, wherein God spoke to the prophet. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. I don't need to sit in a place where God rejects me because I have rejected knowledge. So I'm just trying to share some knowledge because, y'all, I say this also for Elder Bobby, we are not hired. We are not professional pastors. I believe sincerely that we have been called into the ministry of reconciliation. And our end game ain't no money. Let me just say that again. Our end game ain't no money. We are servant are shepherds who are following the good shepherd. And I just say to you, follow me as I follow Christ. Because I don't want there to be any groupthink here. Follow us as we follow Christ. So this is not the time. There's never a time, but of course, this is not the time to reject the knowledge that our Father has given us to be vigilant, to be prepared and wise in each and every aspect of our lives. So get ready for what's coming, just like I hope we are getting ready for who is coming, that is King Jesus. And if we can assist in any way, anybody, we are here. And just let us know what we can do and what we need to do. I'm convinced this morning, Sister Ursula, that wise people, that loving people, that faith people watch as well as they pray. They prepare as well as they pray. They store up provisions as well as pray. They save and invest their money wisely as well as pray. They pay what they need to pay to whoever they need to pay it to, whether or not that's God or man, as well as pray. They gas up as well as pray. They hunker down as well as pray. They seek appropriate shelter and safer ground as they need to as well as pray. I hope that y'all are hearing this with me this morning. So I want you to be safe and secure and also be in the will of God for the safety of yourself and for your family. Let it be so. Let it be so. Let it be so. Let's move onward and upward in Christ this morning. Let's move onward and upward. I want to read from the book of St. John, chapter 11, verses 5 through 15. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days, still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in a day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of this world. But if a man walks in the night, he stumbles, because there is no light in him. These things said he. And after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleeps, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. And Jesus said unto them plain, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. May Abba Father begin to do what he does best through the word, in love, in truth, by grace, and through faith. May our Father move us from the mundane to the supernatural, from the carnal to the spiritual, from eyesight to insight, to transcend beyond what we know, what we think, and what we feel, to draw closer to him and to embrace the mind of Christ. May by the power of the Holy Ghost, we see and we speak in a more excellent way. Amen, 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 amen. Today I want to share with us from the theme of Christ is coming back. Christ is coming back. Last week, we considered verses 1 through 6 from John chapter 11, share the thought, Christ's purpose and timing, CPT, Christ's purpose and timing. As Jesus purposely delayed doing anything for 2 days after he received love's simple message that the one whom you loved, Lazarus, is sick. And I asked this question as the question was asked of me, rhetorical question. You know, was Jesus late or was he on time? And hopefully each of you have received the answer from the Logos like I did, that Jesus was neither late or on time because he and the Father are time. They created time, and because they are sovereign, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, because they are timeless, they are not bound to time. They are not subject to time. They don't have to confer or give counsel to time. They don't have to get their permission to do what they do best from time because they are time. So Jesus was neither late nor on time, but he was certainly, and most importantly, he was in God's will. And I submit to you again today, that's where we want to be. We just want to be in the will of the Lord. I can hear further encouragement this morning from the CDC. Hallelujah. CDC. The Christ Deliverance Center, CDC. It's located, if you will, on Golden Avenue in Heavenly Hills. That's where we want to be, according to CDC. We want to be in God's will and in harmony with Christ's purpose and timing. So I hope this morning that you are on CP time. CP time. Don't get it twisted. I ain't talking about that other time that you might be thinking about, but I'm playing off of that. But I want you to be in the timing and the purpose of Christ, because that's what the Lord is raising us up to do. As we draw closer to a fuller appreciation of CP time, the Lord Jesus is moving upon us today to hear this. He's coming back to the ecclesia all over the world. Hear this, hear this. Christ is coming back. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He's coming back, family. Based upon the verses shared today, we learn once again, we're reminded once again that Jesus waited 2 days where he was before he began his 20-mile journey to go to see dead Lazarus. Why did Lord Jesus delay his coming? Jesus already knew when he received the message about Lazarus that he was already dead. The message was sent from Mary and Martha that their brother was sick. But by the time that the message reached Jesus, the facts had changed, and Jesus knew he was already dead. So why did the Lord Jesus delay his return knowing that Lazarus was already dead? Family, I submit to you today that the Lord Jesus was sending a message then, as he is certainly sending a message to us now, that by his delay, once again, he and his Father are one. And that indeed, the three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit, they are one. Family, Jesus is sending us a message that the Father, the Word, and the Spirit are sovereign before all things, after all things, and in all things, including death. The three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit, are sovereign. They got control. control. They got control. They got control. Even in death, they got control. Even in Delta, they got control. Prayer can come. Grace can come. Avery can come. But they still have control. Help us, Holy Ghost. Jesus purposely delayed his coming because he knew. Yes, he did. He knew that the Hebrews believed and taught that the spirit departed the body 3 days after death. We don't read it in John's record, and that's why it underscores that the body, why we need to study history, and we need to study the Hebrew language, and we need to study the Greek language, and we need to go beyond what we read in the Bible. So we can put the text into context and to rightly divide the word of truth. Jesus, hallelujah, the learned man that he is, the God-man, hallelujah, who during his earthly ministry showed us that he was bilingual. Yes, yes, yes. To the kids out there, he could speak two languages. Oh, yeah, when he began his ministry and when he read from the book of Isaiah, he is teaching us that it's just smart to know various languages and that he could read and speak Hebrew, hallelujah, as well as speak in a native tongue of the Hebrew people of that day, which was Aramaic. Family, the Lord Jesus, both educated and wise, knows exactly what he is doing, and that by waiting to return to Lazarus, that he was setting up the catalyst for his own crucifixion. He knows that when he raises Lazarus from the dead on the fourth day, in light of the Hebrew concept that the spirit departed the body after 3 days, that there would be no ambiguity, no unanswered questions as to whether he and his father are one. He knows that when he raises Lazarus from the dead on the fourth day, that they would certainly catch him and kill him. They would catch him and kill him. So the Lord Jesus strategically waits to be in harmony. Oh, I hope you're listening with me this morning. He waits to be in harmony with God's purpose and timing to use the setback of time as the setup for God's good and his glory. He used the setback of time as the setup so we could see the glory of God. Thank God that when nothing else could help, love will rise to the occasion. And it will journey back to rescue us like Jesus rescued Lazarus. In spite of the haters, love never fails. To the body of Christ, Jesus knew without question or debate that by waiting, those who loved him and those who believed in him in Bethany would certainly give up hope and would lose faith in him. I can hear Mary and Martha right now, if you will, just letting you walk with me and let me use my spiritual imagination. If you would have been there, Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. If you would have only been here, Jesus, my brother would not have tasted death. Jesus knew what, and certainly he knew who he would face when he got back to Bethany. And that is what I call the distant discouragement, the discouragement that beyond you, but you see it's coming, but you ain't got there yet, but you know it's en route, or you're en route to it. And even at the same time, I know that Jesus senses from the text itself, Jesus knows that as there's discouragement from afar, there's also an immediate environment of discouragement surrounding him. As his disciples, who I believe with good intentions, remind him that Jesus, the Hebrews of late, the religious power brokers of late, are still lying in wait to kill you, Jesus. they want to stone you, Jesus. And I can imagine that at the same time, the disciples are sharing with Jesus, reminding Jesus of the immediate dangers they are thinking about. And also at the same time, thinking of their own peril too, because they know if they're going with Jesus, if he gets jacked up, they're going to get jacked up. The disciples question Jesus, as every good committee will do, to make sure that the end game leads to a win-win situation. But Jesus had another win in his destiny, another win that includes me and you. And the disciples, hallelujah, they're saying, if you will, allow me to use my spiritual imagination again, that if you go, Jesus, and we go with you, if they stone you and kill you, they're going to stone us and kill us. That's a suicide mission, Jesus, if we go back. We just got out of a situation about 3 months ago. Y'all can read that in chapter 10 of St. John. We just got out of a situation months ago where we almost got jacked up because you already told them people that you and the Father are one. If y'all can just walk with me just a little while longer. In my mind, I can see them having this committee meeting with Jesus with an attitude, you know, and I describe it like this. Y'all just go with me. Man, is you crazy? Jesus, is you crazy? I believe that Dr. Hepburn, Reverend Dr. Hepburn, would categorize it like this. She would describe it as anger and bargaining. Hallelujah. As the disciples are dealing with their own stress, they're displaying their anger and they're trying to bargain with Jesus. What are you talking about, Jesus? You want to go back there? You want to go back to see about a man, Lazarus? I know he's our friend. I know he's your boy. But you just said he's just sleeping. Is you crazy, Jesus? Is you crazy? You really want to go back into harm's way to check on a man who's just sleeping? We should take a moment here to see that often when we hear the word, when we read the word, maybe even when we share the word, that in our state of growing maturity, we may not have fully grasped the pure essence of the message that Jesus is conveying. There are times we fail to ascertain fully that what Jesus is saying is deeper than what we comprehend. Jesus told them that our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. What Jesus says is not misinformation or disinformation. It simply reflects for our benefit today our human failure. Our human failure, just like the disciples, our failure at times to fully comprehend the breadth and the depth of the knowledge of Jesus, that what we see as death is in reality sleeping in his sovereign care. The disciples had it twisted as to the true status of Lazarus sleeping. They also had got it twisted that they had the number, if you will, as the committee to outvote Jesus. But in spite of their discouragement, Jesus said, but I go. But I go. That can preach all by itself, but I go. I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Not the disciples, not the committee, not the president of the United States, not the former presidents, not the governor of Florida, not the Congress, not the Florida legislature, but I go. Through CDC, the Christ Deliverance Center, I go that I may awake him, hallelujah, out of sleep, in the face of discouragement, immediately before him, and the one certainly that he would face, upon his return to Bethany, truth prevailed. Truth pushed through. Truth pressed through. True. Hallelujah. Right on, King Jesus. Fought through the discouragement and rose to the occasion of deliverance. I hope you're listening with me today. In all our getting this morning, family, we are encouraged to get understanding. We are encouraged to move from education to illumination, from eyesight to insight, and get the fullest appreciation in the wisdom of Christ that the seemingly dead things in our lives, the seemingly dead things in our lives, the dead bank accounts, the dead medical diagnoses, the dead relationships, the dead jobs and career opportunities, the seemingly dead dreams and desires of our heart. They're not dead at all. They are just sleeping to be awakened into a sovereign care. I hope you're listening with me this morning. I got the memo, if you will, from the CDC, the Christ Deliverance Center, and the memo told me this in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, for I know the thoughts. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. I know what they said about your present circumstances and your current circumstances, but guess what? They could be factually correct. But as the truth who was in Jesus is saying through me to each of us today and those under the sound of his voice, that at this moment, at this very moment, at this now faith moment, my friend, just put your name right here. At this time, hallelujah, I go to wake my boy out of sleep. You can put your name there. You can put your boss name there. You can put your spouse's name there. You can put the child's name there. I'm going to put my name there. My friend, Avery, sleeps, but I go. My boy, Avery, sleeps, but I go. And I go that I may awake him out of sleep. I go that I may awake her out of sleep. I go that I may awake them out of sleep. Dr. Reverend Hepburn reminded me of something that my sister Vivian McKnight said along these lines. When you are comfortable or stuck in your most favorite miserable feeling, it is hard to get you out. Let me repeat that. Thank you, Sister Bill. When you are comfortable or stuck in your most favorite miserable feeling, it is hard to get you out. But this morning, Jesus is saying, I am coming back to get you out. I'm coming back to get you out. I'm coming back to get you out. Hallelujah. As I bring this to the round. Hallelujah. In Romans 8, I heard the CDC say this. Hallelujah. Through the prophet and apostle Paul. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the daughters of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, what a woman sees, Why does he, why does she yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Family, the Son, Jesus Christ, who was delivered up for us all, and with whom we are also freely given all things. He's coming back. He's coming back. In fact, help us, Holy Ghost. In fact, he is with us right now. He is waking us up right now. In our faith, he's waking us out of sin and death. In our faith, he's waking us out of suicide and homicide. In our faith, he's waking us out of depression. He's waking us out of oppression. He's waking us out of regression. He's waking us out of depression. He's waking us, hallelujah, out of death. He's waking us out of prayer. He's waking us up out of grace. And you ought to speak it right now. Hallelujah. I'm woke. Glory. Hallelujah. Speak it, speak it, speak it. Hallelujah. I'm woke. Hallelujah. Receive it right now. I'm woke. Hallelujah. Oh, that's it. That's it. That's it. I'm woke. I'm woke. The word is nigh thee. And even in your mouth. And that is the word of faith, who we preach about. Jesus. Ah, Jesus. Jesus has come back. And because he has, we woke. We woke. We will. We need